This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Where, look, I know it's going to come up eventually. Corey's going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Let's just get it right out of the way. We're going to do the over-under, statistical overreaction to the Cowboys season opening win. But we're live at Shakerton's in Arlington, thanks to Ruben. Not thanks to me, as in the commercial break, I almost knocked our station off the air.
You sure did.
I was really excited to say hello to Atolo, to shake his hand. In that excitement, I knocked over my glass of water, and the equipment is like, what, 2 feet away from me, 1 foot away from me?
Mm-hmm,
and so the water feverishly started to move towards all of our equipment, and I just kind of was like, oh, crap.
Kevin,
I'm sorry.
I'm glad that our equipment's waterproof. We could do this show underneath the ocean if we needed to, because I believe in Ruben that much.
I don't think Ruben agrees with that.
Don't worry about what Ruben agrees with. He'll have to.
Forgiveness farting.
Oh, yes.
But, man, one of our. I just want to. If you're thinking about coming out to Shakerton's for lunch, or if you want to get off early, get off work early today, and come out here and start having some old fashions from Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, then what I suggest is you come in here and enjoy this, because one of the Tolos just told me, dude, I got in here, already three people have asked me if I need help. The service in here is fantastic.
Yeah.
So make sure you, if you want good service and if you want good drinks and good food, Shakerton's in Arlington's the place to be today. By the way, Kevin from the 713, bring back where y'all determine a winner based on NFL mascots. That's always a fun listen.
Battle of the Beasts. The only thing I struggle with is Colby was my dude on that one. You know what I'm saying? It kind of feels wrong to do without him.
The whole thing was I refused to take part in that.
You did not believe
and
in
you
it.
You and Colby crushed it.
All the people whose bank accounts we increased, they believed in it.
Y'all did a really good job.
All right.
I should have been listening.
That's true. You definitely should have. Now, this is going to have some elements of nonsense in it. And so I want to prepare people for that. But I think it also has plenty of elements of realistic stuff in it. All right. Alec, can you go ahead and give me that cut number 4 so we can dive in on this?
So second down. Prescott with a deep fade right side for Lamb. Oh, he caught it. Beat the pressure and got down inside the 30 to about the 26. And that was over Denzel Ward.
So one of the most fun things to do in any sport after like the first or second week is push forward the preposterous paces that people are on. Man, that was a lot right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have several stats for you right now.
I love stats,
what
Kevin.
What Vegas says they should be at.
Okay.
What their current pace is and what you think will happen.
Okay, let's rock that out. You have what I think will happen?
No, you will have to tell me what you think. I have the rest of the numbers ready to go.
I want to do a segment one day, Kevin, this year where each of us predict what the other one would say.
Look, we've spent, all of us have spent enough time together, especially you and I. I think we could both get the gist of, you know, what the other person is thinking. Like when Corey wants to slap me upside the head, I'm usually aware of that. All right, Dak Prescott suggested that he will throw for 4,040.5 yards.
Now, in this game?
No, in the season.
Gotcha.
Now remember, they usually set it at 0.5 so you don't have a tie. He's on pace for 3,043 yards.
Mm.
Will he surpass the 4,044?
Dude, the first week is not a predictor for the NFL anymore.
The hell it's not.
Except for the Panthers.
And the segment.
and
the Giants.
Look at how many, there were only 200-300-yard passers in the first week.
By the way, we'll go more in depth on this tomorrow, but did you know the passing yards in week one were the lowest for the opening week since 2000?
Wow. No, I did not.
That's
know that.
Crazy.
When it comes to – now, Dak's stats are not incentive-based. So I kind of hold back a little bit on what I'm about to say. But, like, Washington's cornerbacks are terrible.
Sure.
At some point, I think Dak might have a 500-yard passing game this year.
Okay.
And so I think, like, you're going to make up for what happened in week one. That what you just said about what he's on pace for I think is going to change pretty dramatically next week. But I think that number is reasonable for Dak, especially how much they are going to rely on him if this run game isn't real. Now, I wanted to ask him today, but I'm glad we didn't, because now we have something for tomorrow about when we'll see some Dalvin Cook. But like, if the run game just can't do it, then they're going to have to rely on Dak, and that number might be light.
Now, Dak Prescott is predicted to get 29.5 touchdowns and 11.5 interceptions. It's good news, bad news scenario. He's currently on pace to throw 17 touchdowns.
Okay.
And also on pace to throw 0 interceptions for the season. That's impressive.
Yes, but 17 touchdowns.
Okay, let me tell
you this. Kevin is not impressed.
Dak Prescott plays a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
He throws 17 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions.
Okay.
Do you accept?
I'm betting they don't have a winning season.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just
I got you.
I think they going to need Dak to be the reason the offense is working.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the no interceptions part, but I feel like there's going to be some fumbles in there and other stuff too. But that is an interesting number. Have we ever seen a no interception season with 15 plus TDs?
I don't think so. I think the lowest was like 2.
Is that Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers had that one preposterous year. All right. CeeDee Lamb, here's the bad news. He's on pace to have 0 touchdowns this season.
Oh, man.
He's predicted to have 9.5, so hopefully we'll get more than 0. He is also predicted to have 1,325 yards. So I want to focus in on this stat line. This is Vegas's over-under for CeeDee Lamb's season. 1,325 yards receiving on 107 yards on 107 receptions and 9.5 touchdowns. That would be disappointing, right? I know those are big numbers, but that feels like that would be kind of disappointing.
Because of what he did last year?
It would be, 20-some-odd down in catches? Like 300-some-odd yards down in receiving?
Yeah. Look, man, if he had 100 catches this year, are you disappointed in that?
I think I might be. Okay. Just because, how many did he have last year? Like 130?
He had 135.
Okay. So, yes, like, and I know 100 is a crazy amount of catches, mm-hmm. but if you tell me he's going to drop 35, not drop, but he's going to fall down 35 catches, that's a giant drop.
And I think the other thing, too, is, like, over the last 3 years, he's averaging 13.2 yards per catch. I think his career, it's actually 13 on the dot. But 2 years ago, it was last year was 13, before that 12.7, and then the year before that 13.9. Like, he gets big gains whenever he gets his receptions because he's fast. He can get upfield quickly and do that. But I agree with you, man. I think that would be a disappointing season considering how much you just invested in him and how much this offense really relies on him. Now, if I factor in and I say he did that because Brandon Cooks was another 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah.
Ferguson was another 1,000-yard receiver, and Dak was actually just dealing all over the place. That's a different story.
I agree.
Because
in my mind,
team matters most.
Yes, you're right. In my mind, that looks like 110 catches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got
As
you.
Opposed to like 100.
Look, man, I know the Cowboys spent a lot. Maybe it was 10 times it was handed off on the first down. They did a lot of that. I do feel like majority of the time it's trying to figure out how do we get the matchup that we want so we can get the ball into CeeDee Lamb's hands. That's where their mind is focused first. But I think the other thing about that is defenses know that too. They got to figure it. So CeeDee's got to battle through that and be the one that says, I'm getting the ball no matter what.
Now, this one is actually probably closest to being about spot on.
Okay.
Micah Parsons, the over-under was 13.5 sacks. He's on pace right now for 17 sacks. That feels like the most – I know some of these are kind of like nonsensical and fun. That feels achievable. I'm not saying he will get that, but do you see Micah being closer to, like, let's say 17 versus 13 sacks?
How many times we get to play the Panthers this year? not enough. Yeah. No, man, I actually – I want to say that 17 is definitely feasible for him.
Okay.
But I've struggled with that because – end of season it kind of starts to disappear for him, and I don't know if that's just his legs or if teams go, oh, this is what they're doing, man. I want to see more of the way that Mike Zimmer lets him do it, because Dan Quinn had kind of a one mode, and there was a lot of things missing from Dan Quinn's philosophy also, I think. And I think Zimmer has a much different philosophy that actually allows Micah to move all over the field and do pressure from other places. So I think that definitely is a feasible thing, but I think it's going to require a couple of multi-sack games because I think he can get held down. Now, this weekend, Kevin, against the rookie offensive lineman might be a place to go. That's a tough dude. I loved him. I loved his toughness, his mean streak about him. But, man, if you can kind of take advantage of the rookie nuance that he doesn't know yet, then, yeah, that could be an option this weekend.
From the 214, I'm on pace to piss my wife off 17 times this year by not helping around the house on Sundays. I'm going to take the under on that because don't forget, Thanksgiving, there's another Thursday game, there's a Monday game. So I think you'll at least 13, 14 times at the most.
Yeah.
So not at the least, at the most.
Dude, I'm probably going to make her mad like 28, 30 times with all the, you know.
So you think multiple
it's
times.
It's only two nights Sunday. A week that there's not football on.
Yeah,
so.
That is true. All right. This one might be the most interesting to me. Ezekiel Elliott. He's on pace for 680 yards rushing. He's projected at 600.5 yards rushing. Where do you think that falls? Do you think he goes over 600 yards or not?
Yeah, I'll say he does. Because I think he'll get enough touches requisite for it.
Okay.
And I think the yards will stack up. I just don't see him busting loose for any game-breaking plays. But he can be a player. I mean, I don't know. He did try to show us all up by jumping over a cornerback out there. Maybe he still does have those legs in him. But I just don't see that. But I see him getting the ball frequently enough to stack up those kinds of numbers. And then, you know, obviously around the end zone, that's where everybody feels that he can do his best work.
Should I be concerned about this text from the 432? Hey, guys, proposing to my girlfriend tonight. 1-to-1 odds that she says yes. Now, that is actually only even money.
So
that's a coin flip.
So he's setting the odds.
He says this could be a misunderstanding of odds, or it could be this a coin flip situation. I don't feel like I would propose in a coin flip situation.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I wanted a guarantee. I pretty much knew that Adrian was going to say yes. I think the number, Kevin, there was probably 1% that she'd say no.
Sure.
I kind of felt that
that's
we were
that.
That's
a scary percent.
It was a scary percent.
No, you're right.
I also felt there was like a 65% chance that the ring was getting stolen because I was proposing in downtown
Dallas. Sure, that makes sense. Now, I have two more for you. I just want to tell you these. You don't need to predict them. What do you think is the all-time record for most punt return yards in a season?
460 yards.
Believe it or not, it is 875 yards done by Desmond Howard in 1996. Kevontae Turpin, he is on pace for 1,632 yards returning. He's also on pace for 17 touchdowns. The record is 4 touchdowns on punt returns in a season done 3 different times.
I'll tell you what, Kevin. If he gets 17 touchdowns on punt returns this year.
Yes.
Then I will go with Dak Prescott getting 17 touchdowns and the Cowboys having a winning record.
Okay.
Okay, if you can guarantee me that, then I'll be on board with you there.
And if it's not that, it could be this. What do you think is the record for most field goals made in a season?
Most field goals made in a season, 49.
Ooh, not bad. 44.
Okay.
By the San Francisco 49ers in 2011. Brandon Aubrey's on pace for 68 field goals. Now, most points scored by a kicker in a season, David Akers in 2011 with 166. Right now, Brandon Aubrey is on pace for 255 points. So that could be another way you could just overwhelm teams with punt returns and field goals.
From the 469, if she says no, say April Fools, and also remember, marriage is work. from the 214, UNT's a 9.5-point dog in Lubbock, over or under. Kevin's my better, so I'll just take Kevin's advice on that one.
I do not think that Texas Tech is very good.
Over under 4 games of 100 yards plus for Zeke. I think
They set it at 1.5. I'll take the under.
Me too.
I hope I'm wrong.
I do too.
Okay, by the way, The person proposing followed up and said, "Yes, I don't know how odds work." Okay, good. Okay, so we're all with you. Best of luck tonight with your proposal. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, do you want to get Alec involved with a little NFL overreaction or reality?
Yes.
We'll do it next live from Shakerton's in Arlington during the Power Hour on 105.3 The Fan.
Mayfield to the air, to the end zone, to Evans for the touchdown. His second touchdown grab of the day. The fourth touchdown for Baker Mayfield.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Shakerton's in Arlington. They got their power lunch hour going, and we are here for it. This is going to be part of the Expressway. We got AM on the FM coming up. But right now, are you fine gentlemen ready for some NFL overreaction or reality?
Alec?
Oh, yes.
There you go. I like that answer.
You know what? Because of that, Alec, I want you to start this first question because I love that enthusiastic response. Overreaction or reality, the Saints are a fraudulent 1-0 and should not be feared.
That is reality, Kevin.
Whoa.
I really do like what Clint Kubiak is doing with that offense, even just 1 week in. And, Corey, you've harped on that a lot, that it's a different offense. And I do think that there is a very good chance that ends up being their interim head coach at some point in the season, if not their permanent head coach after this season. And I think he is awesome, but I do think that that roster still has a ton of holes, and their head coach right now, Dennis Allen, is one of the worst in the NFL. Cannot stand listening to that guy's fake emotion after you know, the post-game locker room celebration. He's just, he's fraudulent, so the team, you know, is de facto fraudulent because of him.
I'm right there with Alec on this. I think they are a fraudulent 1-0 team. I think they're going to end their season kind of in the middle of the pack of things in a bad division and be like, oh, okay, I guess we worked out. They get to beat the Panthers twice a year. But I'm not really scared of this game, but there are features of it that if you let it get loose a little too much, it'll be a problem. But I just don't think talent-wise they pair up and match up well with the Cowboys. They are rebuilding that team. They are, you know, completely kind of looking at it going, what more can we add to it? So I think that there's a lot more they have to do. I don't think the talent matches up with the Cowboys, though.
Do you think they are who we thought they were?
We'll find out.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality? I'm excited about this question. Admit it. Baker Mayfield is a good to very good NFL quarterback.
Now?
Now.
Or like in his career. Like we won't look back at his career and go, man, Baker Mayfield was just the best. I don't think that's going to
happen. What if he's in the middle of turning it around?
I don't. How much longer does he have?
He's only 29.
Okay, so maybe 4 years to turn the whole thing around there. I think he is a good quarterback. I also think he defeated a team and threw four touchdowns.
Yes, he did.
Against a terrible Commanders secondary.
Fair.
So I will say I will wait to see how he does against the Lions, who beefed up their secondary a little bit this offseason. I want to see how they do that first. I know.
What if he throws for four touchdowns and zero interceptions again and they win?
Then I'll go, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
okay.
But then, I mean, the Broncos defense is cold. There's a lot more ahead of him that he's going to have to deal with. And I'm not ready to say it after that. But he did get some good work in last year with Canales, and he also got some good work in with McVay that probably helped him out a little bit to really. Having worked in Cleveland for so long,
yeah,
was just in the chaos that was going on up there, he probably didn't know his head from his butt the whole time. And now he probably has a better understanding of what to do in the NFL.
Alec?
I like the analogy of not knowing the difference between his head and his butt. That's amazing.
Have you ever seen that South Park episode where they eat by shoving food up their butt and then poop out of their mouth?
Yeah, that's not great.
The Surgeon General said it was better for their digestive system.
Oh, really?
But that was just a cartoon, so I don't think the real Surgeon General
I don't know about that, but what I do know is that I do think I was wrong, and I don't think this is an overreaction. I think it's reality that Baker Mayfield is a good NFL quarterback, and I think at his highest, in his best games, he is great, but I think he is more consistently good. And you only need that to win in the NFL, and especially with the talent that's surrounding him on that offense specifically. And their defense isn't anything to write home about, but it's not bad by any means. So overall, I think he does, because of his level of skill and his just the level of comfort that he has with that offense now. I think it does put them above because of him. His level of skill puts them one step higher than they probably should be.
I know Baker Mayfield can be very polarizing. Here are some of the texts. Do you want to go ahead, Corey?
Having Mike Evans does make you look good. I'll also add that.
Absolutely. From the 903, overreaction. From the 806, you know, the Browns could really use a quarterback like Baker Mayfield. I agree with that.
No.
From the 903, Faker Baker. And then from the 214, where's Mike? Remember, Mike is on assignment with the Texas Rangers this week. He will be back on Monday, but I also need you to be listening at the beginning of the week, so you can get all of that information straight away.
Gotcha. Yeah.
How many, just kidding.
How much time is he out for this month?
Oh, man. Look, you should listen next week when he's here, because he's going to be bouncing on and off the air for probably about the next month and
It'll
a
be
half.
Nice. It'll be nice.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality? We are going to be beat down and have to suffer through the Justin Fields, Russell Wilson nonsense every week, all season long.
Reality.
Ugh.
Yeah, because I don't know if Russell Wilson is ever going to truly be healthy throughout the whole season, and their only other option is Justin Fields. So I think – and, Kevin, also the fact that Justin Fields can be – like has these qualities, these traits that you're like, oh, my gosh, you can't find that anywhere else. As a running quarterback – he still fears letting it loose downfield. He still fears, like, he questions himself so much when he's back there, but you still have that. So, yeah, I think that's a reality. Every week you're going to be like, what is going on with those two? But can we just ignore it? Is that an option? Is there a way to stay away from it? Or are the Steelers going to be winning enough games to be like, oh, my gosh, okay, their defense was good enough to get them through this one?
See, that's a good point, because then then you can't ignore it.
Like,
if the Steelers are on pace to go 11-6 and they're in the mix, you can't ignore it. So I need them to win, like, five games. So you can be like, I guess, but who cares? All right, next one. NFL overreaction or reality, the entire state of Ohio is headed for an NFL apocalypse.
Oh, my gosh. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the Cleveland Browns look terrible. They're stuck with the worst contract of all time. And the Cincinnati Bengals registered what could go down as the worst loss of the season in week one.
You say apocalypse. Alec, does that not sound like typical state of Ohio football?
Yeah. I mean, if it even is a real place. But, yeah, that does sound typical.
What?
Ohio's not a real place. There's nothing cool there.
They have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Not a real place.
It's overwhelming, too, by the way. It's too much. It's too loud. Yeah, man, the history of both of those teams suggests that it hasn't been good. I don't know. Apocalypse sounds like everything was going well and then it turned wrong. They just got good for the last few years now, the Bengals did. So I think that, yeah, I think that's definitely a reality, but it's just back to normal for that state. The only real good football there is Ohio State.
Yes, actually, that feels fair at the moment. NFL overreaction or reality, the NFC East and maybe the entire NFL should be afraid of a rejuvenated Saquon Barkley.
Yes. Matter of fact, we'll talk a little more about this in the 1 o'clock with the running backs that they have there.
He was outstanding in that.
Kevin,
opener.
This kind of stinks, too, because, when was the last time you saw a good team that already had really good players across the board add a good running back to the mix? San Francisco?
Yeah.
So, this is
that's
the thing
paid
where
off pretty well for them.
Barkley was the key feature for the Giants. He was really the only thing dragging that team along, and that's one of the reasons he got hurt, because of the way he was using his own body. Now he's on a team that has a couple of Lamborghinis to go along with it, and a quarterback that's still trying to figure his way out. Who can't dump it down to Saquon Barkley and allow that? So this is one of the reasons I wanted to see it, and now that I've actually seen it, fear Saquon Barkley a little bit.
Alec?
Yeah, I'm going to say that this is a reality, and I really do.
You'd say that.
I like that this is happening. I hate that it's happening in the NFC East specifically and not with the Dallas Cowboys, but I do feel like here in the next few years we're going to get to a point where the running back position might not exactly be totally sought after the way it used to be, but I think it's going to be a lot more important to the game again here in the next few years. And I think this is going to be the start of it, is by, you know, some of these veteran guys leaving their teams because they've been beat up, and they go to a new team. And just like Saquon, they say, hey, if I play a full 17 or 16 and say the last game doesn't matter, I'm fully available the whole season, and I am the difference in these games, then you're going to start to see the running game become a little more important again. And I want that to happen because I really do enjoy the run game in the NFL. So I do think this is reality, and I think it's a good thing for the NFL as a whole, obviously not for the division itself.
Now, Corey, we were talking about Thursday Night Football, and you were showing me some stats off air. So NFL overreaction or reality? The hell with the turnovers. Josh Allen is absolutely a top three quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, if the whole point of football is to score points, then yes.
Okay.
And that's what he does. Now, does he put them in bad positions sometimes with the turnovers? Yeah. But then he goes out and makes up for it. He's that infielder that can't play infield. He's Odor kind of.
No, that makes sense to me, actually.
Where you're just like, yeah, man, we know we can rely on him to produce but we're going to have to deal with the bad that comes along with it. Five totals in Miami. 312 yards, 4 touchdowns, 435, 4 touchdowns, 214, 2 touchdowns, 447, 2 touchdowns, 426, 2 touchdowns. That's total yards there, by the way. So, like, that's what he does. He produces and he gets that team. He is the show there. I think he is, but the way we always quantify it is, has he been to these bigger games? Has he been to the Super Bowl and done that? That's what people are kind of holding off on him. We saw the shootout against Kansas City.
Yeah.
We really wanted more from that. And that's when he's kind of failed again, is he's got to get a little further. But during the regular season, yeah, man, he's a top three quarterback during the regular season.
Alec?
Ooh, I think Corey put it best here.
I wasn't sure if that was you were thinking or I had to repeat the question to you thought, but I appreciate that you knew.
I was thinking, and I was like, I can't really paint a better picture than that. I'm right there with Corey.
Okay. Now, NFL overreaction or reality. This might be the last one. We'll see. The Packers will miss the playoffs because of the Jordan Love injury. Now, I realize it's only 1 week, and I realize they've talked about how fast he might be able to come back, and there was a lot of love being thrown at this team in the preseason, but that's my overreaction or reality for y'all.
I'll take that as a reality. It's already going to be tough to get into the playoffs anyway. And
sure.
I don't believe Malik Willis. I really just don't yet.
Sure.
But I do believe Matt LaFleur. I think he's a really good coach. But this might be something if it lasts too long. And then on top of it, if it hinders him throughout the season. You know, Dak came back from the calf injury, right, but still didn't look right. He comes back from the shoulder. He still doesn't look right. So those injuries linger with you through a season. It takes an off season usually to recover from it. So if it's the 4 games he's out and then maybe 3-6 games that he's dealing with it while he's playing through, I think that could be a struggle too.
And Corey, you mentioned something big there, is that if he can come back really quick, sure, but how does he look after? And for that reason, I'm actually going to go opposite of you. I'm going to say that is an overreaction, because I think that it's going to be fine, because Jordan Love is at his best when he has his feet planted and he's in the pocket. He loves to break away and make those crazy throws off the back foot, you know, across his body, but half of those end up being bad decisions. So almost in a weird way, if it limits him to stay in the pocket more and to plant his feet and stay upright, I think that they're in a better position if he does come back relatively soon. I think that their passing game won't take much of a dip in that area. I think it could get better because sometimes he does do a little too much trying to be like Aaron Rodgers with these crazy throws. But I think in a weird way, it could benefit them by having him just kind of calm down, make his reads, and just throw the ball in the right manner at the right time. So I think it's an overreaction.
Okay. Let me ask one more quick one, if that's okay with you guys. NFL overreaction or reality, you believe that the Bengals tried to match the Justin Jefferson deal. So the word on the street is they have offered Ja'Marr Chase 4 years for $140 million, which would be the same per year guarantee as, or the same per year salary as Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson got $110 million, whereas supposedly the Ja'Marr Chase deal would only give $90 million guaranteed.
Oh, man. And that's kind of seeping out here now?
Yes. The buzz happening. Do you believe that? And why would Cincinnati? That feels like a pretty big deficit.
It doesn't make sense to have it that far off, except for they are. I mean, with Minnesota, were they spending that much anywhere else?
No, because they shed their quarterback. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
With Cincinnati, I mean, they got T, they got their quarterback, they got that. So they are looking at it a little differently, and they're a supremely cheap franchise in
true.
General. But that would seem like a bad decision with this guy, but I could see it.
Okay.
So I'll believe it. Believe that they did because they see this window with their quarterback and the receivers.
Do you believe, Alec, that this is a real deal and are you kind of proud of the Bengals for sort of offering up some money?
I'll believe in it because their owner is Mike Brown. Like it begins there and it ends there. The fact that he was willing to say, yeah, on paper, we're going to get the big $140 million price tag, but your guarantees are going to be way lower than the next guy. Yeah, that screams Mike Brown to me. I say that this is totally believable.
Excellent stuff right there. I hope you guys appreciate it. NFL overreaction or reality. Bonus question, Alec. I'll let you answer this one. NFL overreaction or reality. I might have another version of this segment ready for tomorrow.
I'm going to say that's a reality because you are the most prepared man in radio.
Ooh, we'll find out if that is accurate or if Alec's a damn liar. But
right now,
KNC Masterpiece on 105 Through the Fan live from Shakerton's in Arlington. I feel like it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. We've been running it all week and been having some fun here, causing some chaos and playing some sound. I'm going to continue to do that here today. I've got a great clip from Teddy Bridgewater that we're going to get to here in just a minute. You haven't heard from him in a while. He's busy coaching high school football out in Florida, and he's doing a great job, by the way. But he did a podcast appearance, and he talked about why exactly he retired from the NFL. Cool. It's kind of lighthearted, but it's also kind of heavy at the same time. So I think it's some great, real, and raw insight from Teddy Bridgewater we're going to get to here in just a second. But as custom, we always start with a question of the day. And this is based off of a personal decision that I made here this week because I am very much tired of traffic. We'll get into what I mean by that when we answer this. But 877-881-1053, that is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. The question of the day, gentlemen, is what is something that you wish you would have done or caught on to earlier in life? Because for me, it's something that I ordered just 2 days ago. I don't even have it in my possession yet, but I am so excited that I did it. I finally got a toll tag, and I can thank the great and late great Ted Nichols Payne for instilling this belief in me. Why would I pay to be on a road?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because I used to engineer G-Bags remotes with Ted out at FC Dallas games. And, you know, I live in Grand Prairie, so Frisco to Grand Prairie, that's a little bit of a drive. And I would not take the tolls. And so Ted would always be like, why is it taking you forever? Why do you have to leave so early? I'm like, Ted, I am broke and I am in college. I am not paying for tolls. And he was like, you know what's crazy? I don't either. And I was like, boom, I have the validation of TNP, so I am not going to take tolls for these remotes. I will just leave 2 hours early because I'm going to save this money. But I'm starting to realize that, you know, I'm going to be at the Star in Frisco calling high school games here pretty soon, as well as just going to practice and covering the team. So I'm like, I'm going to be out there a lot more than I usually am. So I probably just need to bite the bullet and do it. So I finally ordered it. It's going to be here next week. And I do have a high school game that I'm calling next Saturday at the Star. So I'll finally get to test it out. I'm excited.
You're an adult now.
Yes, I feel like a true adult now. Like, this is amazing. My dad was so proud of me. Like, I've graduated college. I've paid for my own college. Like, I don't think he was more proud of me at any point in my life than when I told him a couple nights ago I just bought a toll tag.
Now, Corey, This is a great question. His question of the day in AM on the FM is usually a great question. My answer is, I wish I had caught on sooner to the advancements in audio technology. Because 2 cars ago, when I bought my Equinox at Platinum Chevrolet and then some dumbass destroyed it in the highway, I was devastated to learn that I could not get a CD player in my car. Okay? I'm trying to be honest. I was devastated
at
this.
My kid has one in his.
Okay. See, that's really impressive. And also, my family would make fun of me because when I would go on walks, I would plug in my earphones to the phone and then, you know, put them in my ears at the gym and stuff like that. And, you know, I've discovered, I know this is not new to some people, I was a very late adopter of Bluetooth and other technology where I'm like, well, who cares if you don't have a CD player? There's literally any song just about in the world at your fingertips that you can punch up on your car. And going hands-free or wire-free has been a game changer. I feel really dumb for not doing it sooner, but there's my admission for y'all.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely go with investing in stocks and gambling.
I wish I'd done that.
Yeah, and it is a good one because you can win, especially if you know, like, you got to be smart. You really do have to be smart with the way you bet. Okay, Kevin, the rules for betting that they always give: don't bet more than you have,
and don't chase money. Don't chase. If you're like, hey, I lost this amount of money, I got to get it back. Don't chase your money.
But like, whenever I was younger and I had lots of money to throw around before I had kids, I wish I would have invested in specific stocks that I even was like, oh, I think that's going to be important later down the road. And so, and I also like wish I, like my kids, they play stock games on their phones. They have some apps and they play stock games at school, and they're already thinking that way. They're thinking forward of it. And I'm like, man, I should probably give them some seed money and see what they can do with that and see if they can turn it into something and grow it. But investing is probably something I really wish I would have started doing sooner, because now I'm behind on a lot of things and I'm trying to catch up. So, and also that, man, this single life thing seems pretty cool a lot of people are experiencing right now. So like, that seems, you know, well, a lot of people without kids and they get to go on trips and all sorts of stuff without kids.
My wife is stupid.
I thought that didn't exist anymore. I'm not. Look, I would want to do this, like, not the single life, but the married life with the wife. And I'm looking forward to when all the kids are out of the house.
So I don't know. I don't know if you salvaged that or not.
I'm going to miss them all. Because Kevin, let me explain this. Remember Trey Wingo? I'll do this in the C block.
All right, let me throw this out there because it really speaks to what Corey was saying. Alec, there's a great line in The Simpsons where they're at an Italian restaurant and Maggie dumps spaghetti sauce in Marge's purse, and this single reality lady walks by and she's like, oh, that's too bad. All that I have in my purse is disposable income. And so, like, that really speaks to, I'm sure, a lot of people with kids out there.
By the way, my kid, when he saw his CD player, he goes, what is this?
stupid kids.
But yeah, he's never used a CD player before.
See, I'm glad that I'm like just barely old enough to have experienced that stuff. Like, growing up, I used to play with my dad's old pagers, you know, that he didn't use anymore for work, that he decommissioned because he got a fancier one. I played with the fax machine. Like, I may only be 23, but I've experienced these things, so I won't be a total letdown in that regard.
Corey, did you think the downfall of the pager, outside of just developing technology, was that everyone attached 911 to their pages? And they're like, you can't all be that important.
Everything was important. Everything. And you're just like, what's going on? They're like, oh, hey, when are you coming over? What? I had to pull over and find a payphone to talk to you, and you're asking me when I'm going to be there?
Yeah,
when I get there.
I love this. From the 817, getting braces / aligners. I tried to take care of the teeth, but braces was such a game changer. I'm glad I got forced to get those when I was like 13.
I am, Alec, I'm on, Carter just got his off, my middle son. He just got his off. Avery got his off last year, and now Lucy is going to get them.
Brandon didn't need braces, my kids, I'm sorry.
My kids all got the mom's side of the family teeth. And that whole family needed braces. I've never needed braces. My sister never. We all. So this experience again. If you're not with kids, you have extra income because you're not having to buy braces, Alex.
That's true.
Let's see. From the 214, they said investing, like you were talking about, Corey, a little bit. They said, I've made more money in a week of investing in good index funds than I've ever made with my money sitting in a savings account for almost 20 years. So
that's fair.
Yeah, just learning different ways to try to stretch that money is definitely a big one that I've seen come across a lot. From the 469, I can agree with this a little bit as well. Star Wars Legos. You know, because they make all of the different, you know, like models and dioramas that are meant for the adults to just build, sit on a shelf, and do not touch. You know, that is my favorite style of collecting right there.
Now, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And having Brandon get super into the minifigures aspect of this has been great for business at my house because I have some sets where he, like, you just have the minifigure with it, and he goes, oh, you know, this minifigure was only included in just this one particular set. It's worth $85.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, get the hell out of here. I pay like $100 for that set. And I'm like, so I could sell that minifigure and still have the rest of it and, like, almost come out even? And he goes, if you want.
Oh.
And I was like, I think I do. And so he's like, oh, yeah, that one right there is this much. And I had no idea. They were all just
Is there a site for that?
Yeah, I'll have to double check where he gets his prices from.
Is it on sports cards?
No, it's not sports cards investor. And it's,
you don't know that.
I mean, that's fair. And it's not just eBay. He goes to some other site for this. I don't remember what it is.
It's not on sports card investor, by the way. I just looked up. There's a lot of different options. Like, that's where I go for the Pokemon stuff.
That is true.
So SportsCenter posted this last night on their Instagram account. Teddy Bridgewater talking about why he retired from NFL football and went to high school football. He has a little bit of fun with it, but at the end, something kind of eye-opening and a welcome back to reality moment.
I had one concussion, but I was asleep on the field, man. Them boy woke me up. I'm mad as hell. I'm like, damn, I'm sleeping good. Y'all tripping. Them boy like, man, you was only out for like 4 seconds, but felt like 3 hours, boy.
Yeah. Damn.
Bro, like, damn. And I thought I was at the hotel and all.
Damn.
Yeah. So no concussions, serious. So,
he was hitting, boy.
Was crazy, bro, but it was hot, dog. It was LaMarcus Joyner. You know, he from down south. So when people like, man, we got to holler. I'm like, nah, he's straight, man. I slid too late, you feel me? Yeah, I should have slid early. You know, that's why I don't slide no more.
Yeah.
I don't slide because every time you slide, you get knocked out. Damn. You know what I'm saying? So I had to stop sliding. Then I had my last concussion, though. Well, I had one when I was in Denver. That's when I woke up in the hospital. That's when I'm like, boy, I'm done with this ball. Bro.
Yeah.
And I don't want my son's last images of me to be getting carted off the field
facts.
On a stretcher. So
I'm
like, boy, this football is serious, boy.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
So the concussions catching up to Teddy Bridgewater there. And, you know, funny where he was like, you know, it felt like I was out for 3 hours, that first concussion, you know, in the hotel.
They said 4 seconds.
Good night, man.
He was out for about 4 seconds, according to his teammates and the doctors. But he said it felt like he was in the hotel room asleep. And then the second one, he did wake up in the hospital. And that's when he was like, nah, I can't have my son seeing me on a stretcher, you know. So a little bit of reality check there for him, which is nice that he was able to have that moment. Before, you know, and people forget that he almost had to get his leg amputated as well.
Yes.
So, you know, if that wasn't a big enough wake-up call, you know, the concussions, the stuff that happens with your head playing this sport, he says, I got a son I got to take care of. I don't want him to miss out on a lot of stuff because I'm out there, you know, taking slides too late and getting hit by my buddies. So a bit of a very eye-opening story for me, at least, from Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Wow, that's great stuff. And as always, the question of the day delivers. Thank you very much, good sir.
Thank you.
That's AM on the FM. I bet you can catch it at the same time tomorrow right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block. We'll do it live from Shakerton's on your home of the Cowboys. Home of the Rangers next.